8 with a lot on its plate.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The exclusive club that is the G8 began meeting in Japan today. This is an important summit for the G8. In no particular order, we have oil, the dollar, the food crisis. Today, Germany's chancellor urged the group to include non-G8 members like India and China in the discussion about oil. The British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, is talking about food. Let's bring in our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, what is Brown saying?
He is saying that saving food is as important as saving energy. And he's basing this argument on a British government study indicating that Britons alone waste 4 million tons of food a year at a cost of some $800 per home.
But what is he asking people to do?
He's asking people to be a lot more careful and not to waste food. And one of his targets, incidentally, are the big supermarket chains. He's urging them to drop these buy two and get one free promotions because he says this ends up with consumers buying too much food and then going home and ending up throwing a lot of it away. So he's aiming this call not just at individuals, but supermarkets, schools, restaurants, and government departments.
And Stephen, beyond this food policy, I understand that Brown is also being very critical of the U.S. policy on biofuels at the G8 summit. What's he saying there?
Yes, this is the argument that the American approach to biofuel production, that is largely using corn varieties to produce biofuels, reduces the amount of corn available for food. Mm-hmm. And he's basing this on a British government study, this is nearly as polluting as gasoline as a fuel once you take into account production and transportation costs. So he's going to be clashing possibly with the Americans at the summit, arguing that we should be looking at non-food biofuels such as wood byproducts as a better way to go.
Should be a good discussion. All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Hosting the G8 seems to give Japan's stock market a boost today. The Nikkei broke a 12-day losing streak and gained about 1%. The Dow starts the week at 11,288. It lost 0.5% last week. The NASDAQ fell 3%. It's at 2245. The S&P 500 hasn't seen a weekly gain since May. It's at 1262. Oil is just below $144 a barrel this morning. Brace yourselves, the political ad season is approaching. Could be a special year for it, too. Special as in special interest. Steve Henn explains.
Come October, we can all expect a barrage of messages like this one from Freedom's Watch.
Tell Travis Childers Mississippi cannot afford higher taxes.
Steve Weissman at the Campaign Finance Institute says expect to see more of these efforts, probably exceeding the $500 million spent in 2004.
When you take a look at it, it's not only the candidate's money, and not mainly the candidate's money, that is spent in these elections.
Congress has tried to limit ads paid for by corporations or unions that mention candidates, but
the Supreme Court has certainly shown itself very willing to be more protective of these independent groups' speech.
Tara Malloy, an attorney at the Campaign Legal Center, says that court decision could open the floodgates, and it looks like it has. This week, the NRA announced plans to spend more than $40 million on this election. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
401k statements should be coming out pretty soon. They are going to be ugly. U.S. stocks lost $2.1 trillion in the first half of the year.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Mr. Sloan, we're all bleeding losses here. What should we be doing at the moment?
Well, if you're someone like me, again, I'm closing in on 64, though I try not to worry about that. You just have to figure out what you're doing. see if your approach still makes any sense. I'm personally, as I've said here before, somewhat dubious of the United States stock market and the dollar and what's going on in this country. And I've been heavily invested by my standards in mutual funds that own non-U.S. stocks. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the numbers, it was not any great time to be invested in non-U.S. stocks either.
Yeah.
The Dow Jones world, if you exclude the United States, is down 12% for the year.
I would think right now there would be a lot of bargains in the market.
Well, a lot of things are very, very cheap. The market itself is not especially cheap. The other thing is, and I'm very heavily in cash, you know, various money market funds, and money market funds are yielding less than 2%, you know, which is not any great bargain, let me tell you. Though it is, you know, it's better to be up 1% for the year, you know, half of 2, than it is to be down 12. But it's not as if there's anything there that's a great place to be. The bond market, personally, I wouldn't touch because I think interest rates are going up. Mm-hmm. And the stock market is a stock market. Generally speaking, when things have looked the worst for an asset class, it's the time to buy them. But I am not telling you that.
Well, you've been through a lot of these situations, Alan. What is your instinct here? Are we close to the bottom?
I don't think so. And I cannot tell you why. And there were very convincing arguments. We're close to the bottom. I'm very dubious of all of it because we had this huge boom in housing and we had a huge boom in all of these sort of screwball securities. And it was in many ways a bubble. And things go on the upside a lot longer than you think they would. And then when they go bad, then they tend to go down for much longer than you think they would. My bet is we're not at the bottom, but I could be wrong, and I certainly hope I am.
All right. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks as always.
You're welcome, Scott.
Share your thoughts with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.